Welcome to Gospel Tangents, the best source for Mormon history, science, and theology. I'm Rick Bennett. I'm excited to have historian Bill Shepherd on the show. He's an amazing historian and is a former president of the John Whitmer Historical Association. He's also a Strangite. We're going to learn more about James Strang's church, and Bill's a member of that church, and we'll find out the name of it, which may sound very familiar. I have a feeling you'll find it very familiar. So check out our conversation. Hey, I wanted to mention one other thing. I understand that some of my listeners have been signing on to Patreon, but don't know how to listen to the entire episode. So if you want to hear more than just this little snippet, all you need to do is download that little Patreon app. Oh, it's not focusing very well, but it's this one right here. And you click on it. And once you sign in, it will take you to our latest episode with Dr. Bill, or he's not a doctor, but he's Bill Shepherd. He's an amazing historian. And then you can just hit the play button right there.
And I'm Bill Shepherd. You're listening to Gospel Tangents.
See? And you can hear the whole thing. So it's going to be amazing. So for those of you who didn't know that, just download the Patreon app on your phone. That's P-A-T-R-E-O-N. Do a sign in. And then do a quick search for Gospel Tangents, and you can go right to the episode. So, just wanted to share that. I've gotten a few emails, and didn't know that people were having a little trouble with that. So, anyway, let's hear from Bill Shepherd. All right, well, welcome to Gospel Tangents. I'm excited to have an amazing historian, and I'm going to start this a little bit different. But first of all, could you tell us who you are?
Bill Shepherd. I'm a lifelong Strangite, but maybe more important, I'm a historian.
Yes, you were the president of John Whitmer Historical Association.
2008, yes. Okay. We had John Whitmer at Vorey, Wisconsin, or Burlington, Wisconsin. Had a nice turnout of people, including Mike Quinn and Roger Lanius.
Yeah, yeah. So you've been doing this for a long time. You've got a really awesome book. Do you want to show the camera? Your book here, this was published in 1977.
This is this was basically intended to be to get out the positive things about James J. Strang, his teachings, and basically basically why the other Mormon sects are not correct. So if I would redo it a lot more professionally. At this point in time, but it does have the positive things of showing James J. Strang's teachings. I think they're quite significant.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and let's do a few things here. So I don't normally do this, but tell me the name of your church, because I think a lot of my listeners will be very surprised to hear the name of your church.
It's actually the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Strangite. So that was, we had to put the appendage on. We couldn't use the term Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints for obvious reasons.
So you've got, in fact, I think the only difference between your church name and my church name is I have a lowercase d and you've got a capital D with no hyphen.
Right.
And we have a hyphen lowercase. So that's pretty funny. So would you call yourself a Mormon?
Oh, very definitely. And we're asked many times, like the LDS or Utah Mormons are asked, are you Christians? And same problem, same identification, same basic goals. Strangites accept Joseph Smith, certainly. And they break, of course, with the transition to the 12 apostles, then to Brigham Young. Mm-hmm. So there was a critical period there when Joseph Smith died, in that the LDS church, I will say, even the Brighamite church did not have a prophet. Now the Strangites claimed that James J. Strang had been an angel had appeared to him at the time that Joseph Smith was martyred and ordained him to be a prophet. And it's interesting to think that in this early period, the Strangites had a song by John Hardy. It wasn't theirs, but it was "A Church Without a Prophet is Not a Church for Me."
Oh, wow.
And of course, at that point in time, until 25th of December, I think, 1847, the Brighamite Church reorganized with Brigham Young as a prophet as their head.
Yeah, so, yeah, do we know the name of the angel that ordained James Strang?
He says that the highest host of heaven. Now, some of our people interpret this to say that that was Jesus Christ, but I don't know. There's nothing like Peter, James, and John, or Moroni, or what have you. But he said a host of heavenly beings. So, but we, in the Strangite tradition, it's so important to realize that we go back to Hebrews 5:4, except a man be called of God, he can't be, you know, he has to be called. But Hebrews 7:7, that the greater must ordain the lesser. So it's a standard thing forever among the Strangites that there wouldn't have been a power upon the earth to make a full prophet of God. And when I say prophet of God, I'll say first degree apostle at times, but the full leader of the church, the man who's prophet, seer, revelator, and translator. So again, the Strangites would say that it took an angelic ordination. As Hebrews says, the lesser cannot ordain the greater.
Yeah, so kind of as a counter-argument with Utah Mormons, when Joseph Smith died specifically, Brigham wasn't ordained prophet for about 3 years. And so a Strangite Mormon would say it's improper for the Quorum of 12 to ordain Brigham because they don't have that power. They're the lesser.
Now, the main argument of the Strangites is Doctrine and Covenants 43:2-7. I can't emphasize that enough because that's a church law given in 1831. I don't remember the month, but it said that Joseph Smith will ordain a single, he will remain a full prophet of God until he is taken. And during that time, when he is taken, he will ordain a single successor. And it says in there that this shall be a law unto you, that you do not be deceived by somebody saying anything less. So again, the Strangite argument was strong because this was fundamental Mormonism. This was based upon, again, basically that DNC 43 and 28 and many other, or several other sections.
Okay, yeah. So I know, I think it might be surprising to a lot of people, but so following James Strang's ordination, a lot of very prominent members of the church joined with James Strang. Can you talk about some of these very influential people that joined?
Well, yeah, and I don't know if I'd agree with that summation.
Okay.
James J. Strang wasn't able to crack the inner circle. Now, I say inner circle, meaning the leading 12 apostles, Brigham, Heber, the Pratts, John Taylor, and so forth. He did attract two malcontents in a way. And let me explain about John E. Page. John E. Page came to Strang's Banner and was active minimally for a year or two, but he was an apostle. But so when he joins James Strang, he is very inactive. So he is not a big, he was a good catch in that he wrote some very good things, and it gave the impression that for the reliability of Strangism and so forth. And the other person, the other apostle that came to James Strang was William Smith. And William Smith, carried the Smith name, and which was very important in that early time. And he would publish articles and saying, the whole Smith family supports James J. Strang. I wonder historically if William was stretching the truth on that. So James Strang wasn't able to really crack the inner circle. After the Brighamites, if you will, leave Nauvoo, they're over in Iowa. Let me regress and just say that James J. Strang, as quick as he, after his ordination, he made it known to local people that this miraculous thing had happened to him. And he claimed from that time on that he was a successor. To put some credence into that, James J. Strang had moved to Burlington, Wisconsin, shortly before this, and he was living with his wife's family and a few other Mormons, principally Aaron and Moses Smith, which were no relation to Joseph Smith. So they tried to make this message known. Moses Smith carried the news to Nauvoo, and he says that he was threatened with his life. Johnny Page says that when he came out for James Strang, that he escaped with his life. Now, I don't know the validity of that, but there would have been persecution against them. But early on, Page would write Strang, and he'd say, don't come to Nauvoo. It wouldn't be safe. And Strangites would cite that Samuel Harrison Smith's somewhat mysterious death, William Smith would kind of point at that he was put out of the way. And then Page would say that he was threatened and so forth. And Strangites believe that the marshal at Nauvoo named John P. Green, he came out, and we have a testimony of a Charles Sumner to that effect, that the marshal came out and said, don't worry about this appointment. That Joseph appointed this young man up in Wisconsin, name of Strang and so forth, like this. There's a lot of mystery about Strangites would tell you that Joseph Smith left sealed documents that he is appointing this James Strang. The 12, of course, other than Taylor, I think, is still there, and Willard Richards. Richards would have probably had the document if indeed it didn't exist. That
is this separate from the letter of appointment?
This is referring to this letter of appointment.
Okay.
That the letter would have been sent, but there were documents left indicating that this Strang had been appointed, and so. The idea is that the 12 apostles deliberately, with malice aforethought, did away with this appointment. So, Strang, on the other hand, traveled around the area, traveled into Illinois and so forth, but he didn't make much of a splash initially, but in, say, February, March of 1846, he has some strong missionaries in Nauvoo. And you have the Brighamites, of course, across the river waiting. But you have Orson Hyde there as their representative. And Johnny Page and Hyde have a debate. And Johnny Page is going to cite DNC 43, 2 through 7, and other places to say that the law says that Joseph Smith had to appoint a single successor, and this successor had to be ordained by an angel. And Hyde is quoted as saying that we don't go by the law. You can look at my article and dialogue on this, but Johnny Page, but so, and according to the records or recording, Hyde is going to say we don't go by the law, we go by the Spirit, and let me say that there weren't masses of people converted at Nauvoo. There was a significant amount that didn't go west, of course, and are going to make their way to Voree, Strang's gathering place, which he said was translated to be Garden of Peace. Initially, James J. Strang is going to attract a significant amount of people. Now, Mormons rarely told the truth when they said, they talked about how many people that they had in their church. You know, that we, in this conference today, we heard that Joseph Smith had 200,000 people in his church, which...
Oh, that was funny.
Yeah, and maybe 14 or 15 or, you know, 20 or so forth. So we honestly don't know how many people are going to come to Voree. They're going to come, and they're going to be very poor. Mm-hmm. These were not the... And as a general rule, these were...
Well, all Mormons were poor back then, right? Pretty much.
Right, right. And exactly, other than a few of the hierarchy.
Right.
But they had probably been plundered in Missouri. And certainly they're going to lose out when they leave Nauvoo. So they come to Voree, and they're not going to have fancy homes, at least for a long time. They're going to live out of their wagons. They're going to dig shanties. They're going to be really poor.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Bill Shepherd. In our next conversation, we'll talk about one of James Strang's most prized converts, Martin Harris. Wasn't Martin Harris, didn't he join with the Strang for a while?
And you know, that triumphant mission of Strang out east, the three witnesses, and most of the eight witnesses, I now realize some of them would be dead, but they acknowledge Strang, they acknowledge him. So for a brief instant, and I would say it's very short. Strang is going to make these grandiose, you know, there's this, he is attracting a lot of people.
If you'd like to hear the entire interview uncut, please subscribe to patreon.com/gospeltangents, and for just $5 a month, you can hear the entire interview without any interruption. If you'd like a paperback version of our transcripts, go to amazon.com and do a search for Gospel Tangents Interview. Also, if you'd like to give the money to me and not Amazon, please subscribe on my website, and I'll be able to send you a transcript as soon as they are completed, and click the subscribe button. You can also find our latest information on facebook.com/gospeltangents, as well as we're on Twitter @gospeltangents. And don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts. The link is at tinyurl.com/gospeltangents, and you can subscribe there. Also, please give us a 5-star review. If you want to support all of the podcasts as part of the Dialogue Podcast Network, go to lyceum.fm, that's lyceum.fm, and do a search for Dialogue Podcast Network or Gospel Tangents, because, you know, that's a pretty cool one, too. Thanks again for listening. Click here to subscribe, here for a transcript, and over here we've got some of our great videos. Thanks again.